much about.
I am here with
Jennifer.
Jennifer, before we start, it might be good if I check if we're recording. Check, check. Yes, we are.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Welcome to Thoughts for Your Thoughts. I'm Derry Merbles, filling in for David Parker, who took off for 8 months to study the migration patterns of our nation's squirrels. We have not seen him since.
Obama and Biden, are you kidding? The Three Stooges.
How do you keep your head about your...
Oh, man! Oh, man! Oh, man!
Lisa's going through this phase where she doesn't eat any meat.
I don't know about you, but I've been thinking about meat all day long.
I like meat.
Let's go grab some of that meat.
And now...
I could never eat this much meat. That's not what I hear.
Our feature presentation.
Not what I hear either, by the way. Morning, everybody. It is a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is Tuesday morning, 5:34. I want to introduce you to Jim Coniglione.
Okay.
Jim Coniglione. He is a pro poop scooper. He's got started his own business.
Mm-hmm.
In the neighborhood, he follows people around, and he professionally cleans up poop. That's his job.
But someone needs to do it.
It's called Scooby-Doo is the name of the company, and it's in Long Island, New York. And he has now predicted, as today is Election Day, that Mitt Romney will win the presidential election.
Based
on the fact that more dog poop is shaped like Mitt Romney's head than President Barack Obama's head.
He doesn't see any with giant ears.
I guess not. I'm not exactly sure how. I mean, dog poop would favor the black guy, right?
You think?
I mean,
that's a really good point.
Honestly, without trying to be racist or anything, how much dog poop is white? It doesn't make any sense. So the guy, apparently, he's been doing this for years. He claims that he has correctly predicted, and who's able to verify this? The self-proclaimed turd whisperer claims that he has correctly predicted the winners of the 2000, 2004, and 2008 elections based on the dog poop.
Well, he needs to start documenting this with pictures, I would like to say.
Well, he did.
Because then maybe we can call him in 4 years.
He sent a couple of pictures of absolute proof that Mitt Romney is a 2-to-1 favorite over Obama by sending the two pictures to the Huffington Post.
Oh, okay.
So the Huffington Post did a research project. They looked at both of the pictures and they tried to figure out, and they say, this is just dog poop. It doesn't look like anyone or anything for any reason.
Look, it's like clouds.
You look at a cloud, maybe you just see a cloud, but maybe I see
Mitt Romney.
This guy says he's apolitical. He doesn't care either way. Mm-hmm. He's just paying attention to the dog poo.
Well, look, he knows poo.
He does.
I can't argue him.
He knows poo more than you do, more than I do.
More than I'd ever want to.
It's his living. So he says the election's already over. I would suggest that it probably isn't.
And still going to vote.
If you know. You should probably still vote.
Go ahead and
even
do
though you're going against the turd whisperer. Which nobody wants to be on the bad side of the turd whisperer.
No.
But
I hope he gets his own TV show.
He apparently has already called it. So that's fantastic to find out that early who's going to be our next president.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we? We have Shane Satterfield, who is from GameTrailers.com, talking about a bunch of new video games that are coming out.
It's a ton, right?
It's an amazing time of year. Halo is coming out, Assassin's Creed, 3? Call of Duty, Black Ops 2 is coming out next week. So we're going to have him in the studio. We're going to talk video games for a while, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
We are going to do a phone-in topic of you woke up and you don't have any memory of how you got there. Like Muggs when he woke up in a bush.
Yeah.
Was it day after St. Patrick's Day?
Oh, yeah.
Day after St. Patrick's Day.
He was supposed to be here, you'll recall.
Supposed to be here at 5.
Uh-huh.
I think we heard from him about 8:30, and he woke up because the sun was burning his face. And we said, dude, where are you? What happened? He said, I'm in a bush. I passed out in a bush, and I don't know how I got here. And he was miles away from his house.
Oh, my God.
So that's good times. We're going to take your calls on that. More information on Miss Double December as we just kicked that off yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Bean's Kidney now has an agent, so we'll talk about that coming up. And we've got your tickets for breakfast with Mumford & Sons and the sold-out show at the Hollywood Bowl.
Awesome.
Which is coming up today as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Sail.
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 They probably don't want our help. How long before a store uses that as their advertising?
Well, it is
having a sale.
It is the holiday shopping season, so I'm sure that will come up. Maybe the world's most low-key commercial ever.
That's true.
JCPenney. Sale. Slow-mo pictures of people walking down the aisles of their store shopping.
With smiles. Yeah. A shirt on their arm.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. It is the Kevin Amici on the world-famous K-Rock. It's 551, and it's time for the Showbiz Bee with Ralph Garman.
Don't say, don't give you nothing. I've got your tickets for a very special event. Listen up, twitards. I'm talking to you. It's the end. It's the finale.
Yes, it is.
The final countdown. It's the final countdown.
Causing a lot of little girls to cry right now, Ralph.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but you have to say goodbye to Bella and Steven and Clark.
Steven.
And Louie.
Pretty sure there's no Louie.
And Brittany. And all of your favorite lizards and bat-winged people. All that spooky stuff. It's coming to the end. The Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn Part 2. It's happening Monday, November the 12th at LA Live. And by happening, I mean the red carpet world premiere. That's right. They're all going to be there. R-Pats, K-Stew, B-Love. Jago.
I think it's a B-lover Jago.
D. Bag Smith.
D-Bag.
D-Bag will be there, I guarantee it. Hey, you want to go to this? You know you do. Because you love the Twilight. You're like Lisa. You can't sleep at night unless you page through a couple chapters of that saga. Breaking Dawn Part 2 is in theaters everywhere Friday, November the 16th. But you, however, my beloved listener, we'll go on Monday, November the 12th, to the red carpet world premiere at LA Live. I have one pair of tickets. These tickets, you can't get them anywhere. They're super hard to get. I've got one pair to give away right now.
Is this in the news?
1-800-520-1067. People are already lining up for this thing. People who won't be able to get in to see the movie are lining up just in the sidewalks just to get a glimpse of R-Pats and P-Jams.
Actually, you have to sign up, and then they have like a tent area that you can live in for three days before it opens.
Oh, my
Madness.
God.
Madness.
Yeah.
Anyway, here's the number to call, 1-800-520-1067. And let's give it to caller number 12, since it all happens on November the 12th down there at LA Live. Caller number 12 right now at that phone number will get yourself a pair of tickets to the red carpet world premiere of The Twilight Saga, Breaking Dawn Part 2. Very exciting. I have seen all of those films.
You've not seen one.
I cannot wait to see.
You haven't seen a single one.
This one, because it is all about, for me, K-Stew and R-Pats. And yeah, you know, you people, that's right, I'm looking at you. You said, their relationship, the reason they got back together again is just for publicity, just to sell the movie. I hate love, you said. Wrong! This is true love. They are back together again and stronger than ever.
That's great.
You know how I know?
How do you know?
Because they are getting another dog together. And you don't get a dog together if you're just together for publicity. No, sir.
You do if you're a celebrity.
You know you don't.
I give you Paris Hilton.
Because their dog, Bear, was in the midst of a hardcore custody battle when they first broke up. Who was Bear going to go live with? They both loved that freaking dog. And now they're going to add to their family and get a playmate for Bear, and they said they're going to have a new fur baby in the house by Thanksgiving.
You're going to get a playmate for Robert Pattinson as well.
Stop it. Bear will have a new dog friend, and that means love. You don't get a dog unless you plan on sticking around and being together for a while.
It might be best if you just let it go, okay?
You don't know.
They could be getting a second dog, so when they split up, they...
You don't know either, lady.
Let's wait until the movie opens.
Give
it a week. And all of a sudden, the rumors will start. They're breaking up.
You want to put a little money? You want a little cashish?
If I'm going to put money, I want a little more than a week.
A little cashish on that story?
Let's say 2 weeks from the opening of it.
They'll be broken up 2 weeks from the opening of the movie. That's what your prediction is?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll bet you on that.
All right. Boom.
20 credits?
Boom. Right. Done. It's a done deal.
How about last night's Monday Night Football game? You want to bet on that?
Oh, man. Is that ugly? Here's the thing. There are excuses, and then there are reasons. And I feel bad for Michael Vick because everyone's pointing fingers at him and saying he's the cause, but nobody could play behind that offensive line.
Yeah.
They were just destroying those guys on the line of scrimmage. It was hard to watch. Look, it's always next year. That's the way I look at it.
Sure.
New coach, maybe new quarterback, new offensive line.
New team.
New defensive line. New defensive coordinator. Wholesale change of players. I mean, the whole thing. Hope springs eternal. Just come back to life. MTV is doing their part for the victims of Superstorm Sandy. When did it stop becoming Hurricane Sandy and now it's Superstorm Sandy?
I noticed that 2 days ago.
Is that because people just like the SSS alliteration of Superstorm Sandy?
Maybe.
I guess, but really, aren't you Superstorm? It almost sounds like you're going, nice work. Yeah. That's a hell of a storm.
Sounds like a superhero.
Right.
Somebody in Marvel Comics. Or a very popular stripper. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage, Superstorm Sandy! MTV is doing a special called Restore the Shore. See what they said there? See what they did?
We love to rhyme stuff.
Because of Jersey Shore?
Yeah. Oh. That's who's going to host it, Kevin.
No.
The cast of the Jersey Shore are getting together for a one-hour special that will air live on November the 15th.
Oh, that's gonna raise negative money.
People
that donated will ask for it back.
To raise money for Architecture for Humanity.
Are they going to perform or what?
Yeah, Lisa, they're going to perform.
Is it like a variety show?
They don't do anything.
I
what
know.
Could they perform?
I'm very curious.
They're gonna stand around and fist pump and drink and fornicate. That's what, their special talents are. The money we'll raise will go to Architecture for Humanity, which is a group that helped to rebuild disaster sites after things like Hurricane Katrina and the 2010 earthquake in Haiti. So they've got a great track record of helping people out. And so the money will be used to rebuild the boardwalk in Seaside Heights, New Jersey, and helping out local businesses. That whole boardwalk, you've always seen them going up and down during right. those episodes, gone now. So all those businesses, all that tourist
You
money.
Don't want to cross the situation, that's all I know.
You were excluded from the surf and turf night. You were excluded from ravioli night. You were excluded from chicken cutlet night.
Restore the shore. That's what I say. And Miley Cyrus. It's in the news. She made a video.
I know that we're not big fans of her, but...
No.
But Belle?
No!
I don't think
I
so
agree,
either.
No.
No,
okay, I don't think so.
God,
I just wanted
no,
to bring
man.
It up.
She's in a new music video by DJ Bongor called Decisions. Have you heard about this?
No.
It's like a weird video. He's like a dubstep guy, I guess. It's a weird video. She makes out with a unicorn, and there's madness going on. His ex-girlfriend, adult film star Jesse Andrews, is also in the video. Anyway, apparently Miley and Jesse got along like a house on fire during the filming of this video. And now... The media director for Sex.com thought Miley and Jesse would like to get together and make a girl-on-girl adult film.
That's what I'm talking about. We've been predicting this for 5 years now.
Yes. I've been saying for a long time, Miley, get into porn so you'll be interesting. But she has said no. For now.
She has too much money.
Well, that's what I'm saying. She's got all the money now. She has nothing else. Go into porn. Be the richest porn star in the world.
Well, look what the whore cat dragged in.
That's what she wants to do. That's what she really wants to do. She doesn't want to sing. She doesn't want to be an actress anymore. She just wants to cut her hair and have people look at her and be sexy. She's always like, oh, look at me. Aren't I? Look at my side boob. Look at my flappy A-cup side boob. Look at me. Oh, I'm so sexy.
They're A-cups and they touch your knees. I don't understand how that works physically.
Madness. And lastly, this isn't showbiz news, but I was so taken by this story that I insist that we get Beer Mug on a plane and send him to the Yukon.
Excellent.
The Yukon Territory. Dawson City in the Yukon Territory. That's way up there, you know, near Alaska and stuff.
Let's make him walk.
Walk to the Yukon?
Yeah.
First of all, I think just sending him on a plane to the Yukon is a good idea in and of itself.
Okay.
But when you add to it, the Dawson City Saloon... named the Sourdough Saloon there in the downtown hotel district. They have got a cocktail there that I think Beer Mug, being our resident alcoholic, needs to try. It's called the Sour Toe Cocktail, and it is a drink. It's just champagne, a big glass of champagne, but it is garnished with a human toe.
Oh!
What?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
A human toe.
Fantastic.
This drink has been around since 1973 after a riverboat captain found a toe preserved in a pickle jar and decided it would be a good idea to drop the toe into a big glass of champagne then take a drink.
Yeah! That's hot!
Since then, more than 100,000 people are estimated to have taken part in the sour toe cocktail ritual. Ugh. The one rule, however, is your lips have to touch the toe.
Oh.
So you have to dip the, you have to tilt the glass enough so that the toe rolls down and touches your lips while you're drinking the champagne.
I'm sorry, why are we doing this?
Because it's awesome. Because you can have the sour toe cocktail.
Mugs, does that sound good?
Sounds pretty outrageous.
All right, Mugs in. Now, don't worry. This isn't the same toe since 1973, for God's sake.
They found another toe?
They're not Philistines, Lisa. They're not animals. The first toe was swallowed by a miner while he was drinking the champagne.
Ugh.
But there have been plenty of replacement toes since, because many have been damaged or swallowed since 73.
People are swallowing human toes?
You know, the local hospitals have been given a heads up. If there are any toes lost to frostbite, there was another victim of a lawnmower accident. Another was amputated and saved in a year for freezers. I mean, they pick up the toes here and there, and then they have the toes ready for garnishing your champagne glass, and Jesus. Then you get to enjoy your cocktail. And I read and I said, that has got beer mug written all over it.
Agreed.
No.
Beer mug drinking from the toe glass. Who's with me?
Me and every listener.
All right. Dave King Mexico, please book a flight to the Yukon for a beer mug.
Fantastic.
Make that one way.
How dare you?
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Sally Field is 66 years old today. TV journalist Maria Shriver, former First Lady of California. Are they married?
California.
Are they married still?
I don't think they've officially divorced.
Officially divorced.
Of course, Arnold Schwarzenegger is who I'm referring to. She's 57 years old. Actress Kelly Rutherford from Melrose Place is 44. Ethan Hawke, very talented actor. See that Sinister? See that Sinister movie he was in recently?
The horror movie? I did.
Oh, he was good.
That's the one where you get possessed by the picture?
Yeah, don't look at those movies. Yeah. Don't look at those home movies.
Yeah.
Thandi Newton is 40 years old. Rebecca Romijn is also 40 years old. Actress Taryn Manning is 34. Emma Stone. Oh, Emma Stone is 24 years old. And your Los Angeles Clipper, Lamar Odom, celebrates his 33rd birthday.
Fat Lamar?
How dare you, sir? It's hip to clip, Kevin. Don't you know that?
I do not know that.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Coming up, we're going to give you more details on Miss Double December, which we kicked off yesterday.
Yes.
And we would like you to join in. If you want to be Miss Double December, you know somebody who would want to be Miss Double December, let them know. All the details are at krock.com. Yesterday, we had a bunch of cameras in the studio from, I think it was a CBS Morning News, I believe, talking about Bean donating his kidney. And I have gotten a lot of questions about this. Is it real? We thought he was kidding. So did we. We thought he was kidding as well.
I think he's doing it, but I still think it's a bit.
It's possible.
He's doing it because it's a funny bit for the radio.
But he is actually doing it.
Yes, he is.
And he's not here today, which is sort of odd. So I had the King of Mexico get his agent on the phone so that we could find out, you know, what's going on, if he's all right or what's going on.
Okay.
Good morning.
Chicky baby, chicky baby, chicky baby. How you guys doing today? How you doing, chicky baby?
Is this Shelly Waxman?
It is. How you doing? How you guys doing? Hey, Kevin. Hi, Lisa May. How you guys doing?
Hi, we're good.
You guys need representation by any chance? You need representation? I don't know if you guys are being properly taken care of there, okay, Rocky?
No, I think we're good.
All right, chicky baby. Don't worry about it, chicky baby. I got you, chicky baby.
All right, good. So tell us about Bean. What's his status?
I don't know about Bean anymore, guys. We had a parting of the ways, me and
what?
Bean.
What?
I'm no longer representing Bean. He's just too difficult for me to work with. However, I am representing his kidney.
What?
Bean's kidney's the biggest star in the world right now. Boys and girls, I'm telling you something. There's white hot heat on Bean's kidney. I'm telling you something. CBS Morning News. The Tom Likas Show, TMZ Live.
Right.
I mean, this kidney's exploding. I mean, hopefully not literally, because then it wouldn't be useful anymore. But I'm telling you, it's unbelievable. This little thing filtering blood left and right, and also at the same time, the biggest star in the country right
Why
now.
Does Bean's kidney need an agent, though? It seems like he's...
Because all the offers keep rolling in. Everybody wants a piece of Bean's kidney. Not just Scott Mason. Everybody wants a piece of Bean's kidney.
Is that right?
They want him on television. They want him in the movies. They want him in a recording contract. They want him in live performances. They want him in a speaking tour. This Bean's kidney's the biggest star in the world right now.
Are you exaggerating just a little bit?
I'm telling you, I'm underselling this thing, kidney baby. This kidney is the biggest star in America. Listen to those phones. They're blowing up.
Do you have anyone to answer phones?
Hello. Yeah, okay. All right, you got it. Yeah, we'll be there in the morning. Oh, it's unbelievable. I got a deal right now from Paramount Pictures for two westerns for his kidney to star in. It's unbelievable.
What?
Yeah, Billy the Kidney and Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kidney. It's going to be huge. I'm telling you, this guy's a monster. Hold on a second. Yeah, hello. All right, great. That was Interscope Records. They just offered him a big contract, a recording contract for music.
His
Kidney can't sing?
His Kidney's a great singer. Are you kidding me? This Kidney can do it all. He's going to be part of a new act called Kidney and Play. Or he's going to join Filter. I can't make sure. We're still weighing which one he's going to be performing. It's
unbelievable. The phone is ringing again?
Hold on a second. Hello? All right, mate, you got it. Put another shrimp on the Barbie, mate. Yeah, that was Australia calling. They want him to perform at the Sydney Opera House. They're going to rename it the Kidney Opera House.
Oh, my God.
If there's an evening with his kidney, a Q&A with his kidney, it's going to be ridiculous.
There's more heat on this than I thought.
Hello? Yeah, okay. All right, never get offers for live events now. They want him just to show up at the mall tour. They're going to put him right between Gap Kidneys and Kidneys R Us. Come on down. The Batmobile will be there. Free balloons for the kidneys. It's amazing. It's going to be outstanding. And I'll tell you guys, I'm sorry, you probably won't go see Bean anymore, at least for a while.
Oh,
is that right?
Kidney's getting all kinds of radio offers to do his own morning show.
Oh, no. Yeah, Bean loves that morning radio.
Well, Bean does, but he'll be out of the picture because it's just the kidney. They don't want Bean. They want the kidney.
How can the kidney do a radio show?
Because the kidney is multi-talented. I'm telling you, I can't get enough of this kidney. This kidney is huge. He has been offered important roles on radio shows like Branson and the Pickle.
Right.
Scream Show on the Tuts.
Oh, they're good.
Clank and Rimmer. Anal Bead and Jones. Cambridge and Carbuncle. Vaseline and the Speculum. Banjo and Butt Knuckle.
Wait a minute.
Polyp and the Bedpan. Bobby Bard's Morning Chuckle Club. Porcupine and the Fist. And Cubes and the Blister. They all want a piece of them. They all want some of the kidney.
That seems like a lot for him.
Hold on a second. I don't know.
Something else?
I'll look into it. I'll get back to you. Hey, do you guys have the number for Bean's pancreas?
No.
I just got an offer from Dancing with the Stars.
Okay. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:35. It's election time, people.
Yeah.
It's election time.
It's time to vote.
Time to vote for Miss Double December. That's what we're talking about, right? Miss Double December?
That's the important election. Whatever with who's going to run the country. Who's going to run my unit?
Here she comes, she's our Miss Double December. She's an angel, and just look at those cans. She's got big guns, baby, she's got the hoots. Boy, how she gets me excited. Hey, look, my f*** is hard.
Got to figure out what that word is.
Can't figure it out?
Can't figure it out.
We made the announcement yesterday. You can sign up at krock.com. You got to be 21 or over if you'd like to be Miss Double December, which basically is just a spokesmodel for the Kevin and Bean Show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but a lot of spokesmodels, all you do is just show up and get your picture taken and look pretty. And that's part of this job, too. We want you to be attractive and be the face forward of the Kevin and Bean Show because, frankly, except for Lisa May, we're not much to look at. So It's nice to have a pleasant appearing person representing us at various functions, but you get more than just you're more than just a spokesmodel. You get to show up at all of the Kevin and Bean events. You get to go to Acoustic Christmas. You get to go to the Weenie Roast. You get to go to all of our breakfast withs. You get to go to all our singles parties. Anything that the Kevin and Bean Show does in
April
terms of
foolishness,
an event. Mm-hmm. Or a reason to gather the listeners together, you will join us and be part of the family.
So we are looking for Miss Double December contestants. You can register through a week from Friday, which I believe is the 16th, November 16th. You got to send in a couple of pictures and do a quick little questionnaire so that we can kind of get a feeling for what you're like. Here's a few highlights from past Miss Double December pageants. This year's going to be on November 30th. I know it's all in November this year, but that's just the way the calendar works out with other events that we can't mention right now. So it is happening right now.
you sneaky bastard.
And 1 year, I don't remember if this was last year or the year before, but the crowd does tend to drink a little.
Yeah.
And they were being really hard on the girls who, let's be honest, it takes a lot of guts to get out there on stage and walk out there and do their talents. And
especially the talent portion. The talent portion is difficult.
So I tried to take on the crowd, and it didn't go well.
Listen, people, we know you're having a great time, but it takes a lot of guts to come up here and do this, so don't be rude.
All right, now Kevin is flipping off the crowd.
As well he should.
The crowd will start throwing things momentarily.
No,
fight
them,
Kevin. Fight
them. Fight them, Kevin.
Fight each and every one of these bastards.
All right.
And Kevin was ready because Kevin likes to drink a bit, too, during our pageants.
How dare you? I was 1 second away from taking them all on.
Yeah.
That was very close. We also do an interview portion, and this was from one of the pageants. I don't exactly remember which one. And
this was 2 years ago.
It was a surprising answer.
What celebrity would you like to kill if you knew you could get away with it?
Bieber.
I would murder Angelina Jolie.
What?
Yeah. What? No, wait. First, I would f*** her. Whoa. Then I would murder her. Then I'd murder her.
What's happening?
What?
I could not have predicted that.
I don't understand why she would kill her after that, quite frankly.
What's happening right now?
It's really bizarre.
Yeah, I'm glad she didn't win.
Because Ralph's question was, what celebrity would you kill if you could get away with it? That's not the answer.
I think that cost her some votes. The whole,
I do too.
The whole rape-murder combo, I think, really turned the tide in the election.
Was it last year we had Doto down there? I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was.
I believe it was.
Doto, would you date any of the Miss Double December contestants?
Why not, Bean? This is America!
USA! 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 USA!
It's a pretty good time down there.
Yeah. All you have to do is send in two photos of yourself and make them recent photos. And if you could...
And by the way, let me just
clarify. Thank you, Lisa. How dare you?
Oh,
Lisa. Thank you.
But this is an important point.
Let's say a photo within a year. Within a year.
Yeah.
And let's say a photo that's not just you from 50 feet or your headshot.
It's blurry. Not your headshot, right. Yeah. We get so many headshots.
Yeah, a three-quarter or full-length photo is probably the most helpful. We need at least two photos of yourself. You have to be 21 or over because there is booze involved in this project almost all the time. complete your submission, and what's going to happen is we will take those in through Friday, November the 16th at 10 a.m. Then starting Monday on the 19th, we will announce the top 10 finalists and start interviewing them live on the air. All this leading up to our legendary Miss Double December crowning pageant that we'll have Friday, November the 30th at the Slide Bar Rock and Roll Kitchen in downtown Fullerton. And as always, we'll be donating toys for underprivileged kids with the Toys for Tatas with the U.S. Marines will be down there. So you have to bring an unwrapped toy if you want to participate. But it's going to be a blast. It is every year. It's really the highlight of the year.
It really is.
Yeah.
Remember the girl that wanted to punch everyone in the face?
Oh, yeah.
Can I play that? Mm-hmm. That highlight?
Sure. You've just received one free pass to punch anybody in the face you'd like to.
Now, again, this is the exact same question as who would you kill?
I'm just trying to get a sense of their psyche.
Who would it be and why?
And by the way, the votes hadn't even been tabulated at that point. She had no idea who did or didn't vote for her at that point.
Good timing.
Good times. She just got drunk and wanted to punch everyone in the room in the face.
So if you want to be the spokesmodel slash you get to go to everything that we do next year, you can do that if you're 21 or over. You have to go to krock.com. You have till a week from Friday. If you know somebody, you have a friend that you think would be interested, go ahead and let them know. But go to krock.com and you can register to be this year's Miss Double. Ralph Garman is here with a look at the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
I sure am. Can't stop me. Congratulations to Selena Gomez. She's more than just a pop star. She's more than just an actress. She's more than just the Biebs' girlfriend. Glamour magazine have just named her Woman of the Year.
Really?
Anyone? Anyone? Woman of the Year.
What is that?
Her best friend, Tadoff Switler, says it's a great choice. Because she's giving back to people who need help because of her own life experience. What was her life experience again? Anyone remember what she ever did? That was
in the Mickey Mouse Club, wasn't she, or something?
I'm just shaking my head. I got nothing. Was she in
one of those Disney shows? The
Basketball Diaries, whatever the hell that show was, or a High School Musical, or
I don't remember.
What does she do? Anyone?
I don't really.
What's her life experience? Dave would know. Dave, come on, speak up, Dave. What did she do? What's Selena Gomez known for?
Wizards of Waverly Place.
There you go. With all her life experience from the Wizards of Waverly Place.
And they do magic, so she knows a lot.
She has given back to people who need help. Selena herself says she is very honored. It's a very, very big deal. Okay, easy. Glamour magazine. They can't even spell it right. Glamour. It's some weird spelling. She said, this is my favorite part of her quote, "I didn't even know I was a woman."
She's barely.
Well, maybe,
how old is she?
Maybe you should get yourself a handheld mirror, honey. Put yourself into a squat and get to know yourself. That's all I'm saying. Check yourself out. Maybe ask the Biebs. Maybe he could tell you if you're a woman or not. He should know.
Yeah.
Takes one to know one. Hey, speaking of the Biebs, congratulations. What a great day for this couple. Why? First, Selena Gomez is named Woman of the Year by Glamour magazine.
Mm-hmm.
But now the Biebs has his very own sex doll. His own inflatable sex doll is available.
Oh, no.
Made by Pipe Dream Products. Now, it's not technically the Justin Bieber sex doll, because I can imagine there would be some legal issues with that.
Sure.
So you can buy the Justin Bieber blow-up sex doll.
Wow.
Now, the sex doll claims it is bisexual. It's a bisexual boy toy.
Right.
Finally 18 and ready to rock your world, says the box. I mean, the box that the toy comes in. The inflatable doll has a sideways baseball cap and boyish grin, say the manufacturers.
So they got the douchebaggery from Bieber.
Yes. Yeah, I don't think I can even read the description for this product on the air.
Nope.
Meet Justin Bieber, the barely legal boy toy who's waited 18 long years just to, and then there's something I can't say.
Sure.
When he's not busy beating up paparazzi, he's up to his high tops in hot Hollywood tail.
Come on.
But the beefster doesn't just have this effect on women, reads the box. He turns straight men gay faster than you can peel his skinny jeans off.
Oh, my God.
And who's the box again?
So, no, it's the packaging that the product comes in.
Sorry.
So what are you waiting for? Inflate this little, can't say that, ego even more and have your very own Bieber bash. You can purchase it on Amazon if you're hungry for Justin Bieber. Prices range from $20 to $138.
Holy cow!
What extra features does the $138 version have?
You should get Justin Bieber for that.
You should. By the way, this sex doll is marketed towards gay men, believe it or not.
Oh.
But according to sales, it's already a hit with many lesbians.
Don't understand that.
Gay men and lesbians love the Biebs.
That doesn't even make sense.
Yes, it does. If you look at the Biebs, it makes total sense. Because he looks like a lesbian.
Okay. All right.
And a twink. So he's got the best of both worlds going for him right there. Yeah. Maybe they just want to, maybe the lesbians want to take him home and just copy his haircut. Just use him as like a life-size model.
Second for a note here, Ralph. Beans Christmas.
How dare you, sir?
Gift.
Beans Christmas gift for
yes,
sure.
Yes.
I don't think I would get much use of that. Justin Bieber. Hey, you know, everyone waits every year to see what show will be given the coveted post-Super Bowl slot in February. Because that is the most eyes in the world on television pretty much every year. You can depend on getting at least some of that audience to tune in for whatever you put after the Super Bowl.
Right.
CBS has just announced it will be an episode of Elementary, their new Sherlock Holmes series.
I like that show.
It is real good, and they're real high on it, so they want to try to make it as big a hit as possible, so they're going to put it in that slot on February the 3rd after the Super Bowl. Of course, Johnny Lee Miller stars as Sherlock Holmes. Lucy Liu is his Watson on that show. It's already the number two new show behind Vegas for CBS, with an average of 14 million viewers per episode, so they are trying to ride that pony into the finish circle, so congratulations. Speaking of CBS, they're talking about another NCIS series.
All right.
I didn't know there was a second NCIS series.
Isn't there one? Yeah, I don't know.
I got nothing, but they say this would be the third. This would be a mobile team of agents who live and work together as they go across the country to solve crimes. And if you're in trouble, and if you can find them.
No, that's the
agent. Oh,
that's the agent.
I'm confused. We know where Krypton is now.
We do?
Yeah, we do. Matter of days before we meet Superman, in my opinion. There's a real-life location for Krypton. Okay. DC Comics has asked legendary astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson to actually locate where Krypton is. And so he got his staff together, who apparently have nothing effing better to do.
No kidding.
But they mapped out in the universe where Krypton is.
Name.
You guys want to know the location?
Not really, but...
All right, I'm glad you asked. It's 27.1 light years away from Earth, in the Corvus constellation,
right,
spinning around a red dwarf star known as LHS 2520.
Oh, 2520 does good work.
It sure does. So that's where we know Krypton would be if we could see it. And we're just waiting for it to blow up. And
I should kick your ass for wasting my time.
Send us a rocket anytime now so we can finally get Superman here on the planet.
Thank God that information's out there.
Wouldn't it be great if Superman actually showed up?
Ralph, you know it's a comic,
that'd
right?
That'd be awesome, though. I know, yeah, but seriously, that'd be awesome.
Right, but it's
if Superman showed up
right.
to help us, wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
Couldn't we use Superman right about now?
Sure. Sure.
Al-Qaeda? Sure, I'll be right back. The blast of his super breath, they all get blown across the desert. What else you got, Superman would say? What other problems you got? Oh, global warming? Let me just change the greenhouse gases around a little bit. Let me do that for you. What else you got for me?
Ralph, it's a cartoon, though.
He's the best.
It's just
he's got a
made,
lot.
It's fiction.
He's a powerful man, that Superman.
It's fiction.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Emma Stone. Oh, come on with the Emma Stone. She's spectacular.
She's got everything.
She really does. 24 years old today. Lamar Odom. You may know him as star of Chloe and Lamar, but he sometimes plays basketball, too.
Bet.
He is 33 years old. He's a Clipper now. Yeah. Taryn Manning is 34. Rebecca Romijn celebrates her 40th birthday, as does Thandie Newton. Ethan Hawke, super talented actor, 42 years old. Kelly Rutherford, Melrose Place fame, is 44 years old. Maria Shriver, the former First Lady of California and a TV journalist. They just recently released an interview she did with a young Mark Hamill just before the release of Return of the Jedi, talking about the future of the Star Wars franchise, because everyone's talking about Disney buying up
what they're
the rights to it.
Yeah.
And she was a horrible interviewer.
Really?
Yeah. She was lucky she got married and became the First Lady of California. Sally Field, Oscar-winning actress, is 66 years old today. And, of course, we do want to mention one of our listeners, Dwan Amir Johnson, celebrates his birthday today.
Dwan.
What would we do without Dwan? He just wanted us to know it's his birthday and is demanding a shout-out. So I just wanted to take care of that for you.
Nope.
Dwan, happy birthday, my friend.
Nope.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We have Shane Satterfield coming into the studio a little bit later on today. GameTrailers.com is where he works. A lot of great video games coming out, I guess, in the lead-up to Christmas.
Right.
Halo, Assassin's Creed, I believe they're on 3. Call of Duty, Black Ops 2, all these games are coming out. Very excited about that. So we're going to talk about that a little bit later on today. First, we're going to talk about you woke up someplace, and when you opened your eyes, you went, this is not what I expected.
This does not look familiar.
I'm not exactly sure where I am.
Or how I got here.
Not exactly sure how this happened. This came from a story that Ralph was doing in the showbiz a couple days ago, where he said Elizabeth Banks was going to start a new show called the Walk of Shame. And she was trying out for this big gig as a newscaster. She thought she didn't get it, so she went out and partied super hard and woke up, didn't know where she was. And then her agent called and said, by the way, you got the job. You have to be there at 5 p.m. And she has to do the Walk of Shame, not the technical Walk of Shame where you walk through a house, but she has to get through neighborhoods all the way back to the TV station. That reminded us of Beer Mug, who the day after St. Patrick's Day was supposed to be here at 5.
Yep.
And we hadn't heard from him at 7:45. At that point, you start getting a little bit worried because people can oversleep, but...
That's now dead territory.
I
always go right to dead.
Now you go, could be dead, otherwise just a phone call or something.
Terrible car accident, dead.
So we couldn't figure out what it was, and then we're going to take your calls as soon as we hear Beer Mug's story again. We're going to take your calls if you woke up someplace and you have no recollection of getting there. And how you got home and what was the situation around that. I generally don't black out when I drink a lot. I generally will pass out.
Mm-hmm.
I'll fall asleep. But I usually won't walk across town and end up in someone strange's house. I usually wouldn't leave a bar and say, fall in a bush.
Before you tell your story, let us just remember Psycho Mike's story when he was in Paris.
Oh, yeah.
When he was drinking and using and woke up in some strange hotel room. No idea how he got there. I don't think he had money.
In another city. In his underwear.
Yes, in his underwear. That's right.
Yeah.
No clue how he got there.
So, Beer Mug, tell us about I'm in a bush.
It was the... infamous St. Patrick's Day, the one that ended all live remotes. And I was here running the board on that day.
Yeah.
So listening to all the fun you guys had down in downtown L.A., I had to make up for it huge that night, in which I did. I got to the bar around 7 p.m. and in the matter of an hour and 15 minutes, I had already downed about 10 or 11 car bombs.
Oh, what? My God.
Yeah, I was going, it was like, it was full throttle.
What was the rush?
I don't know. Like I said, I had to make up.
It's an amateur move.
It was amateur hour. And I felt like I had to make up for everything I missed during that awesome broadcast. I was like, I'm going to make it up tonight. I'm going to have some fun.
See, here's what I like about Beer Mug. Here's what I like about Beer Mug. That remote broadcast that we did on St. Patrick's Day was the day our boss told us no more live shows.
It's kind of a cautionary tale, really, that broadcast.
Because we were so, and by we, I mean Ralph and Bean and Lisa, were so drunk.
So drunk.
And Omar was there.
We had to be driven home.
And we had to be driven home, and it just all fell apart. And to our management, they said, that's it, no more. Yeah. To Muggs, he said, I got to get me some of that.
And post 10-11 car bombs, I don't know. I don't remember much, obviously, but the first thing I remember was the sun hitting the right side of my face. I'm waking up. I'm looking around. I'm looking at streets and cars parked on the, you know, by the sidewalk.
And remember again, this is about 8 a.m.
Yeah,
so
8
the sun's not just coming up.
And you know that feeling, like the first thing you feel like, oh crap, you know, you get that anxiety. Oh, I'm late for work.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't even hit me because I was trying to figure out why the hell I'm laying in a bush. Just with all my wallet, my keys, my phone are all just splayed out around me, and I'm trying to figure out how I got here. And then I remember, oh, maybe I had a little too much to drink.
You think?
Maybe I had a little too much to drink. So then the anxiety started to kick in. Like, oh my God, today's Thursday.
What time is it?
What time is it? Where am I? Where's my car? How am I going to get to work? What's going on here? It was all bad.
It was awesome. He called here and he said, "I woke up in a bush." I was like, wow.
We couldn't have had a better story.
I've done my share of drinking, but I have never woken up in a bush.
I mean, the only thing I can remember, Kevin and Lisa, is that maybe, you know, I was trying to walk somewhere or trying to get somewhere safe, and the first thing that looked comfortable to me where I could hide out was that nice, soft, fluffy bush.
Bushes are not generally
fluffy.
They're not.
And I actually had some scratches and scars from that night.
Yeah.
Dude,
yeah.
This is a new level for the Mugs. This is a mess.
This is a mess. All right, let's take a few phone calls, and then we will take a break and come back and take more. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. We have Ken on the line. Hi, Ken.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Where did you wake up?
Yeah, it was a Halloween party. Got super drunk. Went home with two girls and a friend of mine. We were going over to one girl's house. I was so drunk they couldn't wake me up. I'm in my stupid Halloween costume. The next morning, I wake up at the one girl's house I'd never been before, so I didn't know which house it was, freezing. I got out of the car. People were looking at me like, what the hell is going on with this guy? He looks like, you know, I was in a clown costume. That happened.
What was the car that you spent the night in?
It was a Volkswagen. I was in the back of the Volkswagen with this girl, but they couldn't wake me up, so she said, hell with them, and they went in the house and went to bed, and I stayed in the car all night.
Oh, man.
You are a loser, my friend. You were in the back seat with a chick.
I'm a Kevin Bean fan.
Oh, Ken. Bad choices all around. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Oops, sorry. Let's go to Joe. Surprisingly enough, we have tons of calls on this topic.
These are our people.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Where'd you wake up?
I live in Newport Beach, and I went out one night, maybe like 3 years ago, when Michigan State was in the Final Four of the NCAA tournament.
Right.
So I've been boozing all day on a Saturday, you know, boozing quite a bit prior to that for the week, and then go out one night, go to a club, meet a chick, and then the last thing I remember, I was walking home with her, and we couldn't get in her house, so we're sitting on our front porch trying to get, you know, wait for a roommate to come home.
Right.
And then the next thing I wake up, I'm sleeping on a couch, and some guy wakes me up, and he's like, who are you, and what are you doing in my house? As he's pulling a pair of running shoes, and I hear, like, the little girl in the background, like, laughing, getting ready to go out, and a wife, and...
So you were just in somebody else's house on their couch.
Yeah, so I couldn't remember the girl's name that I went home with.
Sweet.
So I'm in a drunken stupor trying to explain, oh, I came home with some chick, and she said I could stay here.
What if the chick was that guy's daughter, man? You're an idiot.
Do
you have a hot daughter?
Yeah, but the best part was, you know, I wake up and he's like asking his wife, who's he talking about? So he kindly asked me to leave, and then it dawned on me he's probably calling the cops.
Yeah.
But before I left, I didn't have any shoes on. So I don't know where my shoes were, so I asked him, do you know where my shoes are? And then he's like, probably at the house you're supposed to be staying at. So I'm like, ooh. So I just took off running around the streets of Corona Del Mar and barefoot.
Barefoot. That is a great story. All right. 1-800-520-1067. You woke up. You don't know how you got there or what happened. We'll take your call. We have tickets for Breakfast with Mumford & Sons coming up in a few minutes, so we will tell you how to win those. Right now, we are talking about people who woke up someplace, and they don't recognize it when they wake up, and they don't remember how they got there. Let's be honest, 95% of these are alcohol. Probably the other five's hard drugs.
Yeah.
But we're going to take your calls right now of where you woke up and what you thought when you did. Justin is on the phone. Hi, Justin.
Hi, good morning.
So you passed out and woke up where?
I woke up in a bookstore down in San Diego.
In a bookstore?
Yeah, that's where I go when I've had too much to drink.
Do you live in San Diego?
No, I live up in Newport Beach.
Sweet.
We went down to the Gaslamp District and had too much.
And then woke up in a bookstore. Why wouldn't they kick you out when they closed?
Well, all I can think of is there was a back door open or something, because we were out till probably 2 in the morning.
Right.
So did you wake up and the bookstore was closed?
Yeah, well, I woke up in his leather chair by the front door inside to an Asian woman shaking my shoulder, like kind of yelling, half yelling at me, telling me to wake up.
Oh, my God.
When you open that bookstore,
I got there.
When you open that bookstore, you don't expect Justin to be sitting in the chair.
Well, the worst part is I walk outside of the one-way street where my car is parked on the other side of the street facing the opposite direction.
Sweet. Nice.
Wow.
Yeah,
and
at least it didn't get towed.
Oh, I know.
All right.
That's the good news.
Thank you, Justin. That's crazy. Let's talk to Mario. This is a little crazier even yet. Hi, Mario.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Hi, Lisa.
Hi there, Mario.
You woke up someplace. You don't remember how you got there. What happened?
I woke up on my ex's mom's bed.
On your ex-girlfriend's mother's bed?
Yes.
Was your ex-girlfriend's mother in the bed with you?
I later saw a picture, yes. I don't remember having
What? You later saw a picture that you slept with her mom?
Yeah, we had broken up. I had gone to a Halloween party. She ended up going to the same one. I guess what ended up happening, I got drunk. She took me to her house because I was too drunk to drive.
Yeah.
And so I guess she had left me on the couch. Her mom, I guess, took me into her room. And then she still took me home.
Do you think anything, went on with mom?
Oh, yeah, it did.
No, I don't even believe you, Mario.
I don't either.
I swear to God, I'm not, like...
You were on the couch, your ex's mom took you into her bed, and then things happened.
Yeah, and she still even took me home.
I don't believe him.
It's just too good to be true. Either you're the best in the world or you're a liar.
No, I don't know. I wasn't with my ex anymore, and then her mom was hot, so I not like I tried to make a move on her before. She had never really tried to make a move on me either. Just I don't know what.
I want to believe Mario.
All right.
I think he's lying, but I want to believe him.
I think his ex-girlfriend made the right choice.
By putting him in mom's room?
No, by breaking up with him.
Let's talk to Roger, who had the same problem. Hi, Roger.
How you doing?
Good, thank you. What happened?
Hey, I'm calling shenanigans on Mario.
Yeah,
me
too.
But I want to believe him, but go ahead.
Yeah. So I was visiting the Carolinas, so... moonshine was involved.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with
sweet.
That.
Sweet. All right.
I had a party, enjoying the company of my southern friends, and I wake up to the night sky and beautiful stars of the Carolinas.
Right.
And I notice I'm soaking wet. I have no shoes on.
Sweet.
And I'm in the middle of a field.
In the middle of a field.
I'm surrounded by like 16-inch grass. So I sit up and I look around, and I'm in the middle of the country.
Whoa!
In the middle of a field.
Was it like Looper and a younger you tried to shoot you in the back?
either that or it's a strong case for alien abduction. Because
wow.
I had no clue. And come to find out, I was 4 miles away from where the party was.
Did you have a phone with you?
With no shoes.
No.
So you just start walking?
I just started walking until I saw lights and found a payphone.
Oh, my God.
That is not what you need for a hangover.
No, and everybody was like, dude, where did you go?
I wonder how you got all wet.
Did you lie to him and tell him some kind of story? Did you just go, I don't know, it's 4 miles away?
I was like, I don't know. Actually, the only question I asked was, has anyone seen my shoes?
Yeah, a lot of lost shoes.
Nice. People tend to not care about their shoes when they're drunk is what we're learning.
I don't get that.
Let's go to Jonathan. This might be even more extreme. Hi, Jonathan.
Good morning. Good morning, party people.
Good morning.
First of all, did you believe the dude, I believe his name was Mario, that slept with the ex's mom?
He's a liar.
That's what I think.
Liar!
All right, go ahead.
I woke up naked in hospital bed with a catheter.
With a catheter?
Whoa.
Yes.
What happened? Were you at a party? Were you just at a bar at home?
I went to Vegas to celebrate my 26th birthday.
Uh-huh.
And too much alcohol.
Right.
I went clubbing. I got separated from my friends. I think I may have gotten into a fight.
You think you may have gotten into a fight?
My face was sore, but I woke up naked with a nurse looking at me with a hospital bracelet. And now knowing where my shoes, my clothes were. But luckily I woke up and I was able to see my wallet, which my credit cards and then the ID were in there, but my money was gone.
No cash, sure.
No cash, and I took a taxi and shared a taxi because it happened to another guy. We shared a taxi on the way back to the strip.
Wait. Both of you in your party? Both of you?
No, I didn't know the guy.
Just some random stranger who that happened to as well.
In the lobby. And I woke up and I forgot where my room number was. But I didn't remember.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the lobby and I found out. But my friends were looking for me for half an hour. And then they went to a club after.
Yeah, that's... I got news for you. That's the rules in Vegas.
The Vegas code, yeah.
They don't stop the party because they can't find you. They look for a bit, and then they just move on. That's
I wonder who got you to the hospital. Did you ever find out?
Idea.
Maybe somebody called 911 when they saw you peeing yourself
drunk
or something. So the catheter, was that fun to get out?
No, not at all. That's the best experience of my life.
Good times. Good times. All right. Thank you, Jonathan, for the call. Listen, people, don't drink too much. Drink, but not too much.
Yeah.
Time to give away some tickets. Let's clear the lines for that. It's time to give away tickets for our Breakfast with Mumford & Sons. You also got tickets for the sold-out Hollywood Bowl show. Breakfast with Mumford & Sons, we are going to play a game called Famous Lions. Famous Lions. So if you'd like to go, we're going to clear the lines. Call now, 1-800-520-106. Time to give away some tickets for Mumford & Sons.
Yeah!
We got tickets for the sold-out Hollywood Bowl show. We have tickets for the Breakfast with Mumford & Sons, where you get to help us ask questions and interview the band, and then they play in a tiny little place. So we're going to do that right now.
Hey, Kevin and Mean are having breakfast with the Mumford & Sons.
Really?
Dishing a song called Little Lion Mats are playing Famous Lions.
Oh, come on, I'm not even trying.
Really? Yep, we know it's a bit of a stretch, but we're still going to play Famous Lions.
Come on. You couldn't sing this, Ralph.
They sure use a lot of banjo in their music playing Famous Lions.
Oh, that was sensitive. I like that.
Of course, their smash hit song, Little Lion Man. And so in order to give homage to the band Mumford & Sons, we are playing Famous Lions because of Little Lion Man.
Yeah, we're out.
We get them there.
How we're not
you
out.
This is genius,
the end of the
Lisa.
Year and we out.
I don't like your attitude.
We're batting fourth. We're cleaning up with this one. Erin, social worker. Hi.
Hi, how are you guys?
Very good, thank you.
Good, Erin. I'll be asking you questions, and all of the answers will have lion in them, okay?
Okay.
It's pretty simple.
Okay.
Here's the question. In the classic animated series Thundercats, ho! The leader of the Thundercats and wielder of the Sword of Omens is?
Oh, I don't know.
You didn't watch Thundercats growing up as a kid?
I didn't know that one either.
No, I didn't.
I'm sorry, Ernest. Lion-O. Lion-O.
See, because lion's in the answer.
Lion-O. Thundercats, ho!
Okay. She didn't watch. You may be too excited.
Yeah, I love the
Thundercats. Let's go to Alexandra, who's a medical assistant. Hi, Alexandra.
I think it's Alejandra.
Alejandra.
Alejandra, yes.
Alejandra. I'm sorry.
Yes. It's okay.
Here's your question, Alejandra. This is the fifth sign of the zodiac and is assigned to those born between July 23rd and August the 22nd. Leo.
Leo.
We gave him the rules.
All right.
Lion's got to be in the damn answer.
Full title.
Leo is only partial. Finish it.
Leo.
Is.
Are you going to turn her
down? What's the sign of the zodiac?
It's Leo, isn't it?
Yes. Oh, but what is Leo?
It's a lion.
Yeah. Oh, yes. For God's sake.
Leo the lion. Okay, it's got to be in the answer. That's
right.
What we said.
You just have to say the lion part.
The rules. Yeah. All she had to say was lion. What are we asking of her that's so hard? You're a medical assistant? I will die wherever you work. The doctor will be like, give him the syringe. What? The needle? No, the syringe. Pick up the syringe.
Let's go to Andrew. Hi, Andrew.
How's it going, Kevin and Bean? Lisa May.
Hello.
Andrew works in a warehouse, which means he's unemployed.
All right, Andrew.
Yeah.
In this hit animated movie, Matthew Broderick voices Simba, who's tricked into thinking he killed his father and flees into self-exile. Oh, really?
Oh, come on.
Seriously? Andrew.
Lion King.
There we go. There we go, buddy.
Did you know or were you just trying to figure it out?
No, I knew. I just had to give you guys a little time to,
Oh, sure.
Oh, I see. A little time for
he
what?
He was toying with us.
Hey, yeah, thanks for toying with us, Andrew. Let's go to Gloria, who is a student at La Sierra University, which does not exist.
Not even a real school.
That is not a school, Gloria.
Is that a mail order thing, or is it online, or what?
It's a private school.
It's a private school, yeah.
La Sierra University?
Yeah.
You are a liar,
three
Gloria.
Three students in it.
Liar!
What's your mascot's name?
It's an eagle.
The La Sierra Eagles?
Every mascot's an eagle.
I don't buy it.
All right, we're not buying where you go to school, but you still can play.
Here's your question. On her trip through Oz, Dorothy met this guy who wanted to ask the wizard for some courage.
The lion.
You're going to have to give it to us a little bit better than that.
Okay, yes, but...
Come on, like, it's the Wizard of Oz!
Like the other girl, you're going to have to finish out the answer.
Are you effing kidding me?
I've never seen the Wizard of Oz. The Wizard of Oz, the lion.
He wanted some courage. He was.
He's nervous.
All right.
The nervous lion.
See what your education at La Sierra University has got you.
Go to a real school. It's the damn cowardly lion.
The cowardly lion.
No, you don't get to say it after I say it.
Sorry, Gloria. Thank you.
That's insane.
Fake school, fake information.
That's what I'm saying.
Let's go to Darren, a graphic designer. Hi, Darren.
How you doing, guys?
Darren, would you have known the cowardly lion?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. God bless you, sir. All right, here's your question. This NFL franchise was originally based in Ohio, but moved to Michigan in 1934.
The Detroit Lions.
That's correct, sir. Well done. A complete and full answer. I appreciate that.
You hang on. Let's go to Genesis, who's a student at Cal State Long Beach.
Genesis is her stage name, right? Genesis. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together. Genesis making her way to stage number one. Genesis.
She's not doing this for free, guys.
Get your dollar bills out, fellas. All right, here's your question, Genesis. The character Aslan from the Chronicles of Narnia was first introduced in this C.S. Lewis book. The character Aslan from the Chronicles of Narnia was first introduced in this C.S. Lewis book of the Chronicles of Narnia. The name of the book.
I know this.
Okay, then tell us if you know it. It's the name of the book that he was introduced in, the character. He is one of these things, and it's in the book title.
The Chronicles of Narnia.
Right.
There was a book.
The blank.
Oh, the Wizard, the Witch, and No Week.
She knew it.
What a tremendous group of morons.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What a bunch
Genesis.
Of boneheads.
The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Yeah.
No.
One of the most famous children books ever. Ever.
Us hold on, you hold on. I don't even know what that means.
I don't either.
More or no? You want to try one more?
Why can't we go out on that one. Why not?
We can't go out on that one. Avtar.
Hey, guys.
Computer programmer.
course, a name like Avatar, you got to be a computer programmer,
sure.
Right?
Right.
Live in the damn freaking cyber world. All right. Here's your question. I don't know. If they're not getting the Witch and the Wardrobe, they may not get this one.
All right.
But we'll give it a shot. All right, Avatar. King Richard I, King of England from 1189 until his death, was known by this nickname because of his reputation as a great military leader and warrior.
You guys give everybody the easy ones and I get the hard one?
King Richard.
King Richard, he was known as a nickname, was Richard the blank.
Lionheart.
Yeah!
Well done! Thank you.
He mocks us and then comes right up with the answer.
You got it, sir. You are in the drawing.
Lisa?
All right, I'm mixing them up. And let's see who it is. It's Avatar.
Avatar got the tough one.
Give everybody else the easy one. Give me the tough one. Congratulations, Avatar.
Thanks, guys.
Breakfast with and Hollywood Bowl. Thank you for playing the game.
Hey, thanks a lot for playing. Now you have a good time at the breakfast.
With Mumford and Sons.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:55 and time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
I'm concerned about the intelligence level of our listenership.
Well, there weren't a lot of good Lion winners in our last game.
The Wizard, the Witch, and the No. Was one of our answers.
Yeah.
The Nervous Lion.
That happened.
The famous character from The Wizard of Oz, the Nervous Lion.
That happened as well.
He wanted to ask the wizard for some Xanax. The anxiety-ridden lion. Come on, people.
Hey, Mo, shut up.
Why are people bad?
I don't know.
Don't be bad, people.
Because we're bad.
We ask. Look, I know we're bad.
We got bad covered.
We have to ask other people to not be bad.
All right.
To pick up the slack. All right, let's talk about showbiz news. Poor Evan Rachel Wood and Jamie Bell. They just got married, and they're having just a heck of a honeymoon, I'll tell you. They tweeted that while they were on their honeymoon, the hotel room they were sharing was robbed and ransacked. That's sad news.
Wow.
They want everyone to know they're still safe and they have everything they need because they have love. No, they didn't say that. I did. still, it's kind of a bummer to happen on your honeymoon.
It's not ideal.
Police are now looking to question Marilyn Manson. He's looking for blow. Allegedly. Could have been worse. They could have got home and developed their pictures and found some guy with a toothbrush in his ass.
That's true.
That story.
That's true. You have to count your blessings.
That's right. Kristen Stewart and Robert Pattinson, of course. Twilight coming to an end in a couple weeks. The final film will be released. They are truly and beautifully back in love again. It's for real. It's for real. No matter what Kevin and Lisa say. I know it's for real because they are getting a new puppy. A new puppy to join them in their home with their beautiful dog Bear that they already share. So this will mean four in the R-Pets K-Stew family. You don't get a new dog, Kevin, if you're not really truly in love. This is some sort of showbiz chicanery. You don't get yourself a new dog. That's love.
If we have our bet, I'll take your money.
You won't.
Don't worry about it.
It's true love. Meanwhile, Kristen Stewart, according to friends, is jealous of Uma Thurman.
She should be jealous of every other woman on Earth.
Robert Pattinson apparently has stayed very close with his Bellamy co-star. They did a movie together. And Kristen Stewart is concerned that Robert might have interest in Uma Thurman. But if you've cheated on him, he gets a freebie.
Right.
So if he wants to knock boots with Uma Thurman, you got to let him go.
Boobs.
Uma reportedly says Rob is like a little brother to her, so there's no reason for her to be concerned. Unless she bangs your little brother!
I
don't think she would say that either.
No.
Shia LaBeouf has famously said he's done with blockbusters. He is done with those big-budget, special effects-laden Hollywood films. He wants to do small, independent, actory kind of movies now.
That no one sees?
Which makes sense. That's why he's asking for $18 million to do the next Transformers movie. Sure, I'll do another Transformers for $18 million. Just back up that truck full of cash.
It is sort of hard to see a Transformer movie without him, though.
Well,
right?
I don't know.
I know the Transformers are the real star, but
yes,
he's been in it, and he's been great.
But think about all the movie franchises throughout the years who have swapped out performers and moved on. Tobey Maguire left Spider-Man, right? Now we have Andrew Garfield.
Yeah, true.
Every Bonds change every 5 or 6 years. I mean, certainly, in a franchise that is so focused on the effects and those robots, you could put almost anybody in that role.
Hasselhoff.
Hasselhoff. Be good. That's what I'm saying. Bring Hasselhoff
back.
Kid
would come to life. Come on. It writes itself.
MTV is doing their part to help ease the suffering of those affected by Superstorm Sandy. They are putting together a special that they will be airing and raising money with. It's called Restore the Shore. Restore the Shore. Let's see. What connection could MTV have with the Jersey Shore? Wait a minute. Yeah, you guessed it. The cast of Jersey Shore will be hosting that TV show.
Who gives a damn?
I have no idea what they could do that would be interesting.
If MTV was going to do their part, they wouldn't have the cast of Jersey Shore host this.
It's a one-hour special that will air live on November the 15th. And all of the money raised will go to Architecture for Humanity, a group that has helped to build such disaster sites as New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina and the 2010 earthquake in Haiti. So they've got some experience rebuilding. They want to rebuild the boardwalk in Seaside Heights, New Jersey. They got wiped out by the storm.
Can you imagine Snooki and that whole group trying to really, like, now they're talking from the heart.
Yeah. Right.
Like, they're trying to get people to give.
Yo, it's like, really, you know, I kid around a lot as the situation, right. But seriously, you got to give money so we can get... You can get that skee ball booth back up again on the boardwalk, yo. Ass. While we're talking about it really quickly, I know you probably don't need the reminder, but people are still suffering in Jersey and New York and up and down the Eastern Seaboard. Red Cross is asking that no one donate clothing or food right now because it has to be sorted and cleaned and repackaged and transported. All that gets in the way of getting immediate help to the people who need it. So Red Cross is asking if you could please donate cash because that's the best way to help right now. You can text Red Cross to 90999 on your phone. That's a quick $10 donation. You can give blood because all the blood drives in the East Coast were canceled because of the weather, so they are low on blood right now. That would help. There's a lot of ways to help, but don't...
watch the Jersey Shore thing.
Or you can watch that if that helps, but don't send... Don't treat it as a goodwill, because here's the problem. 60% of the donated supplies at the disaster site are not beneficial at all to the people in need.
Really?
According to the Red Cross.
Unloading your crap?
Donations have included tuxedos, flags of Spain, wedding gowns, and used sex toys.
Oh, come on.
Nobody is sitting in Jersey needing more saying, boy, I wish I had a vibrator right now. No one is saying that.
It's not new.
Don't show up with just boxes of crap from your basement and just drop it off at the Red Cross. No one needs tuxedos, Spanish flags, or dildos.
That isn't good for you.
Stop it, America.
Who gave a dildo?
Who said, get me that guy on the line. Get me the dildo guy on the phone. I'm going to have a conversation with old dildo. Today's celebrity birthdays.
I thought it would be useful.
Well, it's not. Keep your dildos to yourself, sir. Emma Stone is 24 years old today. Lamar Odom is 33. Taryn Manning, the actress, 34 years old. The lovely and talented Rebecca Romijn celebrates her 40th birthday, as does Tandy Newton. Ethan Hawke is 42. Kelly Rutherford of Melrose Place is 44. Maria Shriver, former First Lady of California and a TV journalist in her own right, is 57. And actress Oscar winner Sally Field, soon to be seen in the new Lincoln, is 66 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Coming up, we have Shane Satterfield from GameTrailers.com talking about all the new video games that are coming out or have come out. Halo and Assassin's Creed 3 and Call of Duty 2 and a bunch of different games that are coming out. Very excited about that. First, it's time to talk about Taylor Swift, or as we like to call her, Tadoff Switler.
Yes.
There's a new story that Ralph did the showbiz yesterday about her stealing a lyric from an artist that she claims she's loved for a long time. The guy's name is Matt Nathanson, and he did a song in 2003. So here are her lyrics. Here's Taylor Swift's lyrics. And I forget about you long enough to forget why I needed to. Nathan's reads... And I'll forget about you long enough to forget why I need to.
Yeah.
Stealing.
Totally. And she's a fan of his.
And she's a fan, so she clearly is familiar with the song. It's not a surprise. So we decided we would check in with Tadoff Switler this morning. Good morning, Tadoff.
Oh, my God.
How are you today?
I can't believe y'all called me.
Right.
I can't believe you called me.
Right.
Oh. This is such a surprise.
It's not really a surprise.
I'm so surprised.
You knew it was coming because King of Mexico told you.
Okay.
All right.
So nice talk to you.
Good. We're reading a story here, though, about you and how you seem to be lifting lyrics from other songs.
Oh, I can't believe you say that about me.
Well, it's not just me. I mean, there's a lot of stories.
Oh, I can't believe it.
Are you a fan of Matt Nathanson?
I love Matt. He does great work.
Okay. And did your song All Too Well copy one of his songs?
Oh, I can't believe you'd say that.
Well, I mean, it is pretty clear. It's And I Forgot About You long enough to forget why I needed to.
Yeah.
Do you recognize those lyrics?
Yeah, I love those lyrics.
Because Matt Nathanson wrote And I'll Forget About You long enough to forget why I need to.
Oh, my God, I can't believe it. What a coincidence.
That's not a coincidence, Taylor.
That's a coinkydink.
It really's not. It is.
That just happened.
It didn't. It
accidentally happened. Oh, my God, I can't believe that happened. Oh.
Isn't it more likely that you just liked those words and decided to put them in your song?
No. No, because I am a singer-songwriter. I write all my own things.
Right, but this is clearly a full line. It's not just a word or two. It's a full line from Matt Nathanson's
song. I have to say, I don't appreciate you calling me a thief.
Well, it looks to me like you are one.
Oh, my God, I can't believe you said it. Oh, my God, I can't believe you done that.
The lines are too close.
Listen, I'm writing all the new songs for my next record, and every one of them is original and mine alone. Okay. And I really resent that because those kind of rumors could really have an effect on my career.
Well, it's not just a rumor. I mean, the words are identical.
Oh, my God, I can't believe you said that.
And both songs are out.
You won't get that up.
Both songs are out, so everyone can check.
No, but listen, you want to hear my new music?
No.
Some original music from me that is mine, and you'll see that my songs come from me and from the heart.
Do I have a choice to say no on? Do I want to hear
a couple of songs I'm working on right now. Here we go. My heart is hurting. Hope is faded. Here I am now. We once dated.
What?
I used to love you. Now you're hated.
Okay.
My hair's straight now. Used to be braided. I'm a singer.
Okay, that's
songwriter.
That's Nirvana.
These songs are mine. Not Nirvana.
That's the Nirvana song.
Yeah.
That's just a Nirvana.
Oh. My God! Can't believe it! Oh, that's my new song.
That's not a new song by you. That's
my song. It's mine alone.
That's a Nirvana song.
I'm looking forward to dropping that soon. Here's another song of mine called My Sweet Child. I think you're really going to enjoy it.
Okay.
I've got dreams, and it seems to me that we broke up, and now I'm sad as can be, and everything is as stale as a dark black sky.
See, that's Guns N' Roses. That's not...
Now and then, when we broke up, it makes me angry, and I'm really angry, and I'm angry. I'm really angry that we broke up.
Right. That's Sweet Child of Mine.
No, it's not. That's my song.
It really is Sweet Child of Mine.
That's my song.
You didn't write that.
Here's my new song. I think this one's going to be a big hit.
Okay. No. Nope.
Taylor Swift's poop outside my window.
Nope.
Taylor Swift's poop outside my tree.
Yeah.
I wish that you could see me being Taylor Swift like me. Outside my window, my God.
Okay. All right.
What you think?
I think. I like that one. I'm a big. Oh. Why is this happening? Taylor. Why?
Oh, I make myself sick.
We welcome to the studios of K-Rock Shane Satterfield from GameTrailers.com.
I love the applause.
It was an attempt. Welcome.
Thank you.
What do you do at GameTrailer.com?
I am the editor-in-chief at GameTrailers.com. So I kind of run our whole editorial staff. I'm kind of the middleman between our site and the games industry, making sure we get on all the latest games and in a lot of cases get them in early. So I kind of handle all that coverage.
And how many employees do you have that just play video games?
Well, my editorial staff, as far as the guys who review games, we have about 8 or 9.
Uh-huh.
But our company is much larger.
Is that the dream gig that all people who love games think is just the perfect...
I would say so. Last night we had an event in Hollywood where we had a bunch of our content partners get together for a film festival.
Right.
And based upon the audience response after it was over to the people coming up to me, yeah, I would say I have a dream job. I'm pretty lucky in that regard. So I thank my lucky stars every morning I get up.
Let's talk about some of the video games that have already come out as it is. It's approaching Christmas time. So
yeah.
You start thinking about buying this kind of stuff. Let's talk about Medal of Honor Warfighter.
Ooh.
Medal of Honor Warfighter.
Yeah.
Was the ooh a bad ooh?
Well, first of all, it's probably the most generic name for a game ever. They should have probably just called it shooting game or something like that.
Warfighter is pretty lame.
Yeah, and the game actually lives up to that pedigree. It's not very good at all. In fact, it's probably one of the bigger disappointments of the holiday season. Just kind of put things in context, we generally get games a couple weeks before they come out. It gives us enough time to play them thoroughly before we evaluate them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
This game we got the day it came out, and usually that is a sure sign that the game's not very good.
That's the way it works with movies, too, with trailers. And to show, they don't show the movies to reviewers very often, and then usually it's a bad sign.
Yeah, I've been doing this long enough to kind of pick up on the red flags and the warning signs of a bad game, and that was the number one red flag. And as it turns out, the game was awful. It's got a huge marketing push behind it, so I'm glad I'm on the radio to tell people to stay away from this game.
Yeah.
Because I feel like a lot of times when you have that much money and muscle behind a game, sometimes you can convince people to buy it. But I'm telling you right now, everyone listening, do not buy this game.
Don't buy it. All right.
Yep.
It's lame. Okay. Let's talk about what else came out? Assassin's Creed 3?
Yeah.
How's that one? That came out about Halloween.
Yeah, it's been out about a couple weeks now. An amazing game. The way I described it in our review is that it's the antithesis of a guilty pleasure. A lot of games that come out, you know, for lack of a better term, sometimes you don't really want certain people walking in the room while you're playing them.
Sure.
This is one of those games that no matter who comes in while you're playing it, you're not going to feel bad about it.
You're cool.
It's amazing.
It's all right. You're good.
The thing about the game is it's set in this alternate reality called the Animus. It's kind of like virtual reality. Mm-hmm. And it gives the franchise a lot of leeway to kind of have it set in any time period. And the developers are really good at going back and making sure that the environments are historically accurate.
Okay.
So this game is set during the American Revolution in the late 1700s. And
that was a shock to me when I saw the trailer for that one.
Yeah, well,
that they had gone back that far and they were doing it then, you know?
Right, right. But the amazing thing about this franchise is that they do such a good job of recreating these old civilizations that it's like you're there. I mean, everything, just seeing New York when there was no building that was higher than two stories tall.
Right.
It's just mind-blowing to actually see it. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I didn't probably pay as much attention in history class as I should have.
Guaranteed.
So maybe this is a little embarrassing, but I feel like I learned a lot about that time period just playing the game, just the things that the people are talking about, hearing what the British are saying versus what the colonists are saying. It's an educational game, and it's also an incredibly good action game.
All right.
So I highly recommend Assassin's Creed 3. As I like to say, probably one of the classier video game franchises. You'll never feel bad playing it, and you'll have a really good time with it.
Let's talk about this one.
They took our land, slaughtered my mother. But they made one mistake.
I guarantee it's they left me alive.
They left me alive.
What is your name?
Why do you ask?
So I can find you.
Let's talk about that one. Let's talk about that game.
That was Assassin's Creed 3.
So we already talked about it.
Yeah, you actually play as the main character is this guy named Connor, and he's half Iroquois and half European. And so he doesn't actually play for either side. He kind of plays the middle, and all he's really concerned about is trying to save his land from both the Americans-to-be and the British. So it's kind of a cool play on both sides. He kind of plays both of them to absolve his own agenda. So a really interesting game. Really thought-provoking game, and again, I highly recommend
it. Shane's a good guy because he just glossed over the fact that I just played
right
the wrong clip, and I appreciate that because everybody else that's in here focuses on the mistakes. Let's talk about this one.
Humanity stands as the greatest threat in the galaxy. The Forerunners have returned.
Let's talk about that one.
That would be Halo 4.
Okay.
And that's
Big
out
Dog.
Today?
That comes out today. It actually came out at midnight last night, if you went to any of the midnight sales. But everyone can walk into their stores and pick it up today. Obviously, Halo, one of the biggest franchises in all of video games. The big story about this one is that they've actually handed it over to a new developer.
Really? So, does that happen very often?
It doesn't happen very often. In fact, it hardly ever happens with a franchise this big.
Because if something's that successful, you stick with what got you there.
Well, it's a sacred cow. Also, in the games industry, development is really, really expensive. A game like Halo is going to cost you a couple $100 million to create.
Wow, that's crazy. God.
Yeah, I mean, you have teams of three. I mean, Assassin's Creed 3 had a team of 600 people working on it for 3 years. So this one, not quite as big, but you're going to dump about $200 million into each game that's a blockbuster like this. So
wow.
The industry is kind of shifting towards this whole risk aversion thing where, I mean, they're placing their bets on sequels. That's why you're seeing Halo 4 or you're seeing Resident Evil 6.
Right.
Every game that's coming out right now has like a 4 or higher after it because the publishers are getting very nervous about putting big bets on games that they're not sure is going to sell.
The ones that are successful, though, recoup that $200 million easily, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure we'll probably get to Call of Duty Black Ops 2 in a bit. And I mean, you know, those games generate billions and billions of dollars. I guarantee when it comes out this year, it's once again going to set a record for the biggest entertainment launch ever. So a lot of the publishers are really nervous about signing on games that they don't think are going to be successful. And as a developer, it's just you're in the same boat because you're also investing a lot. So, you know, for the old developers of Halo to say, okay, we're done with this and we're going to move on, really brave, really bold, and maybe a little bit stupid.
Yeah.
The good news is that the game, Microsoft basically created a brand new studio just to take over the Halo franchise. So everyone was really nervous that they were going to totally screw it up. They haven't. It's a really, really good game.
How about the embarrassment factor? You talked about that in the last one, Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, I think Halo's pretty safe.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a shooter, but it's not overtly bloody or gory. I would also say that the story in this one is probably a lot more intelligent and a lot more adult. Typically, you know, Chief is the main icon of the game. He's kind of the stereotypical meathead, jarhead type. In this game, they definitely humanize him a lot more, and the story in the game is kind of about his relationship with this AI that he has named Cortana. It's this female kind of AI construct. And the story really goes into kind of the depths of the relationship between man and machine, which is something I think we're all kind of experiencing right now. I mean, you walk around your office, for instance, everyone's got their head buried in their phone. Like, what are we going to see 200 years from now? We're probably going to have a little character that pops up out of our phone that we talk to. So it was interesting. I think on the outside, people were like, oh, it's about killing space aliens. But this game in particular, it really dives into that relationship between what is the line between, and what's it going to be like? What's the line going to be between a machine and a man in the future as AI gets better? So really good story. Obviously, what people buy Halo for is the multiplayer. Games are $60. A lot of people don't generally buy games unless they feel like they can play them for a long time.
Right.
That's why Call of Duty is so popular, because you can literally buy that game and still be playing it 12 months later and having fun with it.
Is this what Halo 4, is this only Xbox 360?
It is. Okay. It's an Xbox 360 exclusive. Again, something that doesn't happen a lot in the industry anymore.
Because you'd think they'd want as many income, you know, generating revenue sources as they could get.
Yeah, but the generation of consoles before this one, you saw a lot of exclusives. But now the publishers are like, look, we can't afford to just release it on your platform now. We need the sales across all of them. Now, with this game in particular, with Halo, like I said, Microsoft built a studio specifically to make this game. So it's
sense.
An investment for them. Also, exclusive games are what incentivize people to buy the Xbox over the PlayStation 3.
Yeah, that makes sense. If you want Halo 4, you have to get the Xbox 360.
Exactly, and that incentivizes people to pick up the hardware, especially now around the holidays.
Our guest is Shane Satterfield. He is from GameTrailers.com. We'll take a break, and we'll come back with Call of Duty and other games. That is Youngblood Hawks on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 20 minutes till 9 o'clock. Shane Satterfield is here from GameTrailers.com. He is the editor-in-chief and owner and creator and overlord. we're talking about video games. We talked about Halo 4. We talked about Assassin's Creed 3. Let's talk about Call of Duty Black Ops 2.
The big dog.
The big dog.
The biggest dog of them all.
This comes out next Tuesday?
Comes out next Tuesday. That's 2 big weeks in a row. Halo 4 followed up by Black Ops 2. Pretty much guaranteed to be the biggest entertainment launch in history again.
I mean, you talk about that. You know, we're always fascinated with movies and how much money they make.
Right.
And these movies that make $1 billion are considered the most successful movies in history if they make $1 billion. How much does a game like this bring in?
It will probably, when it's all said and done worldwide, generate somewhere close to $2 billion.
Crazy numbers.
I mean, games have an advantage over movies. Every movie ticket, well, now they're probably like $20 a piece, but let's say
they're not $49 or $59.
Yeah, every game is $60. Yeah. So you have, that's the advantage. If you sell a million copies at $60, that's $60 million easy right there. This game's going to sell probably in America alone 5-6 million copies on the first day.
On the first day?
First day. I mean, the pre-orders for the game already is in the millions. So they've already covered their cost of development, money in the bank.
What do they do so well that other games don't? I mean, how come this one is the 800-pound gorilla and everything else is kind of pales?
Well, I think, first of all, our society is very ADD anymore. And when you play the single-player campaign in a Call of Duty game, it is literally just nonstop action. It's like a Michael Bay movie,
right,
squared for about 9 hours. I mean, literally every second is filled with something exploding, something insane happening. There is just no let-up in the campaign. And then kind of what I was talking about with Halo, and I mentioned this before, it's the multiplayer.
Right.
Call of Duty Online is actually kind of turned into a sport in some ways. It's probably the closest thing that we have to an e-sport right now.
I tried that, but then I started getting schooled by like 8-year-olds. And I'm like, you know what?
That is kind of the problem, but they've actually done something in this game to fix that. They have created this new ranking system in a league sort of play.
Oh, excellent.
So when you start, you
play. So I can play in the minor leagues.
You can.
Oh, yeah. Excellent.
So when you start, you play 5 matches, and that kind of sets your skill level, and then you go into that group of people who play on your same skill level. Now, as you get
better.
What if
it says we've never seen a skill level that low?
You'd be surprised, man. I mean, you're not alone there. I mean, most people go online. Even people that I work with go online and get their butts kicked. I mean, there are people that buy this game, and it's all they play.
Right.
It's the only game they play the whole year. And they'll sit there for 10 hours a day playing it, and they get so good that a lot of people don't even have a chance.
We talk to people every year when a game like this comes out, and we'll probably do it next Tuesday. We talk to people who have been up since midnight, got it at midnight, and are still playing it, you know, at 9 hours the next morning, you know, at 8:43 or whatever. Yeah. And we talk to them, and we could talk to them forever.
Yeah.
And they take like 3-4 days off, maybe a week off. They plan their vacations around it, some people. That's just nuts.
Well, it used to be Madden. And EA tried to get smart and like start this marketing promotion called Madden All A Day, which someone needs to be fired for coming up with that name.
Yeah, that's a terrible name.
But that has all shifted from Madden to Call of Duty now. Call of Duty has kind of become that game that's kind of unifying across all types of players. Core players love it. What our industry calls dude bros, who are guys that maybe just buy Madden and Grand Theft Auto and Call of Duty every year.
Oh, so they're like the bandwagon.
Yeah.
Like they're not hardcore gamers, but they know this is one they have to have.
I think they just want a lot of value out of their games.
Dude bros.
They only buy a few games a year, and they're like, look, if I'm going to drop $60, I want to make sure I get a lot out of it.
Here's a little bit of Call of Duty.
Technology gets stronger. But we got weaker.
By the way, listen to the music. All of it is done by Trent Reznor.
It is,
Trent Reznor.
We build computers. Robots. Oh, unmanned armies. And no one ever asks what happens when the enemy steals the keys.
Sounds like Trent.
It does, doesn't it? That's pretty cool that you could do an entire... He did the entire soundtrack for this, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's happened a lot more in the industry now. They're pulling in people from pop culture to do a lot more with games in general. I think you'll even see with the commercial for Black Ops 2, there's tons of celebrities.
Yeah.
Last year, they did the same thing. Kobe was in the commercial last year.
That's right. Jimmy Kimmel. Jonah Hill and a bunch of people, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing with this game is they're very smart about how they market the game. You know, they know they have the gamers already, the people who buy a lot of games. They need to reach critical mass, and that's how they do it. They incorporate a lot of pop culture into it. The last game, Ice Cube was one of the voice actors.
Right.
Very obvious the first time you hear him that it's Ice Cube.
Yeah.
I mean, the marketing folks at Activision are very smart. Otherwise, they wouldn't sell that many copies of the game before it's even released or reviewed by anybody. So
yeah, that's true.
There's a lot of trust placed in this franchise.
Although, based in the franchise in the past, based on the last game, everybody hopes that it, you know, holds up to that.
Well, they actually have two different developers that work on this game. They alternate. They take turns. That's
really
how they get it out every year.
So they've already been working on the next Call of Duty?
So Modern Warfare 4, which will come out next year, is already halfway done. They have 1 year left to finish it. And so as soon as these guys finish this game, they'll have 2 years to create the next Black Ops. And so that's how they manage to put out a Call of Duty every year that's of high quality.
Why do all the smaller video games hate this?
Well, it's not that the video game publishers necessarily hate it, although I'm sure they like a piece of the pie, but there is a contingency of people online who a lot of people would call core gamers. They're more fans of RPGs and more fantasy type stuff.
Right.
I feel like they get upset that the game takes so much money out of the market. So they have some favorite fantasy RPG that they play from Japan that they love. They're probably not going to get a sequel to that game unless it sells really well. So
Since everybody's paying money for this one, maybe they don't have money for another
one. There's only so much money to spend at the holidays. We all know that. Especially right now, everyone's kind of under the gun. The economy's kind of tough. We'll see how things go today with the election, obviously. But,
An election today?
Yeah, I know. Believe it or not.
What? But Call of Duty Black Ops, that's the one.
Generally,
am I a dude, bro? Would you consider me a dude, bro?
No, not at all. You listen to great music. That already disqualifies you from that designation. But it is kind of funny. There is kind of this small group of people online who really dislike the Call of Duty franchise. And in all honesty, a lot of them don't even play it or try it. They just hate the idea that it takes so much money out of the market and maybe slights their favorite game.
Can you talk about the drone?
I can, yeah.
Okay, the drone? Let's talk about the drone.
So
I'm not sure whispering is the way to accomplish
that.
Yeah,
I think somebody picked that up. Yeah. Just to put some context to your whispering there.
Please.
Generally, how things go with us is we get to play games well in advance. So I've actually already played and finished Black Ops 2. I played it a couple weeks ago. I played the multiplayer for 2 days straight. I felt like my eyeballs were going to pop out of my head. and so we're forced to sign NDAs when we do that.
Okay.
So there's certain things that we can and can't talk about until a certain date, which is next Tuesday.
Which is when it comes out, right?
Right. But the drone is something that I certainly can talk about. A big part of the story in the game is a terrorist manages to take over control of all the U.S.'s unmanned aircraft, which you think about it, like, it seems like it'd be pretty easy for someone to kind of hack into a computer system and suddenly have control of our entire military.
It's kind of
scary.
Yeah.
So that's a big plot point in the game. And so for their limited edition, there's actually this little drone that comes with the limited edition that you can fly around. Got a little camera on the front. You use your iPhone or your iPod to control it using tilt controls. They're really, really creative.
And you can see on your iPhone what the camera sees?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I'm so going to fly that around Lisa's apartment.
She's like, no, you're not.
She can't stop me.
Yes, he is.
All right, well, that seems to be the one everybody is looking forward to. That, Halo 4 we talked about, Assassin's Creed 3 we talked about.
Yep.
It's a good time for video games, leading right up to the Christmas time.
It always is. And then, generally October and November are the biggest months. Probably 70% of all video games are released during that time period. Probably 70% of all sales are generated during that time period. People buying stuff for Christmas. And then on the 18th, we have Nintendo's brand new console coming out.
Quickly.
Which is kind of flying under the radar a little bit. The Wii U. I think a lot of people are confused and think it's just an update to the Wii. It is actually a brand new console that has a tablet that you can actually take away from the TV. So you can keep playing games as you leave your television and walk around your house.
No kidding.
Yep. It has a touch screen on it, and you can interact between the two screens using the touch screen.
And when's that coming out?
It comes out on the 18th.
Oh, fantastic.
Going to be tough to get one if you haven't pre-ordered one, or you can just buy one from a cretin on eBay for $1,000.
Only cretins on eBay. Shane Satterfield, again, the website is gametrailers.com. I'm sure you're familiar with that if you're interested in any of the video games. Shane, thanks for coming in today and for talking about these video games with
us. Thanks so much. Really appreciate it.
Hammer Mill Paper is 99.99% jam-free guaranteed. Don't you wish traffic was? Hammer Mill, no worries. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
I do wish traffic was.
I do.
I love a good traffic joke. nothing tickles my funny bone more than a good pun about
There's
traffic.
There's so many.
There really are.
8:55, time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Hey, listen, do you think you have what it takes to be Miss Double December?
Yes, I do, Ralph.
Well, we are looking. No, you're not. First of all, you're not eligible.
Oh.
And second of all, you have nothing that we look for in a Miss Double December.
Okay. All right.
Miss Double December 2013. We're looking for our new one. It's all going to happen on October. No, that'd be silly. November the 30th at the Slide Bar Rock and Roll Kitchen in downtown Fullerton. But that means we need a competition. We need some girls to enter. And entry is now open on krock.com. We will be taking entries all the way through Friday, November the 16th. And then on Monday the 19th, we will announce our top 10 finalists where you, the Kevin and Bean listeners, get to vote on who is our Miss Double December 2013. Very exciting time of the year. If you're a young lady over the age of 21 and you think you have what it takes to compete, complete your submission, send in two photos of yourself,
And let's get the ball rolling. Miss Double December 2013.
Current photos, please. Headshots don't really help us.
Kevin gets very nervous because he thinks everyone's lying and sending pictures of them from 20 years ago.
We've had this happen in this contest.
Very rarely. Very rarely. Most of the girls send
in photos. We pick somebody and she's like, I'm 86
now. That has never happened. That happened once. She's never been 86.
One time that happened.
But here's the thing. We do get girls who send in photos of themselves and we see them in person and we're like, my goodness, you're so much more attractive than you are in your photos. Pick flattering photos of yourself or have someone shoot some new ones for you. It just takes, you know, a camera or a phone and just snap off a couple attractive photos that you like and send them on in. It's very simple. But the photo is kind of a big part of it because it's a beauty pageant slash spokesperson competition. So. This story is spectacular. Speaking of competition, I did mention a while back that ABC had given the green light to a series called Celebrity Splash. Will be a celebrity diving competition show.
Yes, I remember.
Celebrities will dive from the high board.
Worst idea ever.
In competition. That's a terrible idea. To see who's the best celebrity diver in Celebrity Splash. Because you've got Dancing with the Stars, and you've got Stars on Ice, and you've had all these other competition shows. Now Celebrity Splash.
Nope.
Well, this being Hollywood, you know it's a copycat world they live in. And the minute somebody does something, someone announces, that's right, a competing celebrity diving show.
What? They don't even know if anyone cares about the first one.
Stars in Danger, High Diving is the name of it. It'll be coming from Fox to compete with ABC's Celebrity Splash. Stars in Danger, High Diving is a two-hour special that will air this winter with thoughts of being a series.
Wow.
Here's what the producer says. Stars in Danger has all the hallmarks of a great American Fox reality show. Big stakes and high drama that keeps you on the edge of your seat. F you. It's has-beens jumping off a diving board. That's what it is. Stars in Danger.
No, nope.
You want my attention? Let's really make a show called Stars in Danger and put
Kirstie
Alley in a box with a bunch of Wolverines. And then let me see who comes out the other side of it. I mean, let's get me Hasselhoff and let me throw ninja stars at him. Let's put Stars in Danger.
In real danger.
Real danger. Not, high diving. Worst case scenario, belly flop. Worst case scenario, not really danger. A little sting, a little painful. Not danger.
Not enough.
Let me go after Mario Lopez with a fire hose while he goes across a tightrope above a shark tank. That is Stars in Danger.
Yeah, and I'd watch that.
I would watch every second of that. I would host that, watch it, produce it. I'd be in it. Anything you need. Let's put Stars in Danger. That's all I'm saying. All right. While we're talking about Stars in Danger, Miley Cyrus, is she going to get into her porn career finally?
It really has been coming. I mean, it's not a joke. No, she's working her way right toward it.
She has been just warp speed just towards being a slut. Started off being Hannah Montana, and she tried to get as far away from that image as possible, from that Disney image, by cutting her hair and dyeing it blonde and showing her side boobs and running around and smoking salvia and getting all tatted up, and she is just skyrocketing towards pornography.
She's a whore, okay?
Well, she recently did a video with DJ Bongor called Decisions.
Oh, no. She's a whore.
He's a dubstep guy, and this weird song has a weird video attached to it. She's in it. She's making out with a unicorn in it. And
get naked, you strange whore!
She's co-starring with...
That's a little forceful. Sorry.
Jesse Andrews, who's an adult film star, former girlfriend of DJ Bongor, and so apparently Sex.com, the media director for that website, has offered a deal for Miley and Jesse to get together just for some girl-on-girl action.
You are, in fact, a whore.
It's not really hardcore or anything. It's not a boy girl yet.
Well, look what the whore cat dragged in.
A
whore.
They all start with the girl action. Next thing you know, hey, we'll offer you a little bit more cash for the boy girl action. Okay.
Yeah, will you buy me that purse I want over there? I'll do anything because I'm a whore.
I'll do it once, but my boyfriend won't like it. I'll just do the one scene. Next thing, boyfriend's out the door. Now it's boy girl, boy girl goat, boy girl trampoline.
Nobody wants boy girl goat.
Humping machine. There's all kinds of combos.
Are you a whore?
I just hope they wear their condoms.
I do too.
Like Measure B wants you to have Measure B in their condoms. listen to this. All right, I'm going to get political. That's right. It's election day. I'm going to get political. Measure B is nuts. It's nuts. They want to take money and pay government workers to sit around on the sets of porn movies to make sure that people are using condoms. It's a waste of time and money that Los Angeles just doesn't have. It's ridiculous. Stop it. It's a dumb law.
And there's a lot more dangerous professions that aren't nearly as closely watched over as the porn industry would be if this thing passes. This is people who are afraid of sex and don't like pornography. That's what it is. There. I've said it. I meant it. I'm here to represent it.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
Barack Obama also wants naked schwanzes in his porn. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Sally Field is 66 years old today. Maria Shriver, former First Lady of California, is 57 years old. Kelly Rutherford from Melrose Place turns 44. Ethan Hawke turns 42. Thandie Newton is 40, as is Rebecca Romijn. She's also 40. Taryn Manning celebrates her 34th birthday. Lamar Odom, star of Chloe and Lamar.
That.
Los Angeles Clipper. He is 33 years old. And actress Emma Stone, just the best. That's the best, that Emma Stone. She's 24 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
It is finally Election Day. I thought it would never get here.
Mostly people are just feeling relieved that it's done. They don't even care anymore.
I just don't want to see another ad. I don't want to hear another ad. I don't want to be told that group's lying and this group's lying and that's untrue and this is untrue. Shut the F up, everybody. But just to clarify, because it is Election Day, we thought we would highlight a couple of the things that people are going to be voting for. One is Measure J.
This is
a half a cent sales tax. Should be extended for an additional 30 years to accelerate public transit and highway projects. So here is the commercial that is in favor of that.
This election day, voters are asked to decide on Measure J, a half cent sales tax, which be extended for an additional 30 years to accelerate public transit and highway projects. Let's face it, traffic in Los Angeles is hard. We need public transit. We need better roads and bridges. A half cent sales tax. Don't be a cheap f***. Let's get Los Angeles moving, you cheap f***.
Brought to you by people who are tired of sitting in traffic.
All right. Well, that seems pretty clear.
I don't know how there could be an opposing side to that.
I don't either.
But
when you're asked to vote for Measure J, just vote no. Another tax hike for another project that won't really help Los Angeles traffic? Let's face it. When it comes to traffic, L.A. is just f***. Let's all get used to it. And it wouldn't be a problem if you assholes didn't slow down to see some guy broken down by the side of the road. Cut that out.
Brought to you by people who don't know what the you're looking at.
That's a very good point.
All right, so that's the first one. I think the second one we're going to highlight here is Prop 30, and that's where you tax the richest Californians to get more money for schools. Here is the pro commercial for that, just so that you're aware when you go vote.
On November 6th, we're asking that you vote yes for Proposition 30, Governor Jerry Brown's tax measure, which would temporarily increase taxes for the richest Californians to help close the budget gap and provide more money for schools. Children are our future. Let's give them every possible opportunity. Let's reduce class size and give them the best possible equipment to learn with. We have to do something, because right now our kids are stupid.
Brought to you by people who are tired of stupid kids.
All right, so that's the positive side of it. Not everybody sees it that way.
On Election Day, Jerry Brown wants you to vote yes on Proposition 30. More tax increases? With money going to schools? What do they need money for? How much does a pencil cost? Here's an idea. Have the kids write on tree bark with a piece of charcoal by candlelight. It was good enough for President Lincoln. It should be good enough for your little bastards. Vote no on Proposition 30. Vote no.
Brought to you by people who sell tree bark, charcoal, and candles.
It's a pretty small group, I would imagine. And finally, Measure B. Of course, this is the L.A. measure to require condoms in porn.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the pro side.
This election day, we're asking you to vote yes on Measure B, Los Angeles's measure to require condoms in pornography. Let's face it. Adult film actors and actresses are filthy, filthy bastards. Who knows what kind of diseases they have? STDs, sure, but probably gingivitis and some sort of creepy eczema. Porn actors creep us the f*** out, so let's make them wear condoms. If it was up to me, I'd put them all on a big ranch and fence them in and poke at them with a stick and throw partially eaten fast food at them. But that's just me, and that's not Measure B. But do what you can. Vote yes. Condoms in porn.
Brought to you by people really scared of sex.
And the anti-side for this.
When you're in the voting booth today, you'll have a chance to vote on Measure B, Los Angeles' measure to require condoms in porn. This would be an unnecessary waste of manpower and city dollars. Do we really want government officials watching pornography being shot to make sure they're adhering to these new rules? Los Angeles simply can't afford it. And really, who cares if porn stars catch an STD or two? You think you have a chance of having sex with a porn star? you don't. You have a better chance of winning the lottery. And unless you find a buried treasure or become a successful cocaine dealer, there's no way you're ever going to have sex with one of these smoking hot porn stars. So stop kidding yourself and vote no on condoms and porn. Because really, nobody wants to see that. Tell the city council to keep their hands off your spank bank.
Brought to you by people who are touching themselves right now.
Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Hey, ladies!
Who wants to be Miss Double December 2013? Do you?
That is what's going on.
Well, you should, because it's happening. We've just opened our voting. From now until Friday, November the 16th, if you go to krock.com and you fill out your application and you send in two photos of yourself and your 21 years of age or older, you can enter the Miss Double December pageant. We hold it each and every year to find our spokesmodel, who will not only be the face and body of the Kevin and Bean Show, but also will attend each and every one of our functions. April Foolishness, Weenie Roast, Acoustic Christmas, all our singles parties, all our breakfasts with. If you would like to be part of the Kevin and Bean Show, this is an easy way to do it.
You have to sleep with all of us.
What the what?
Especially me.
Unspoken?
Yeah.
Go right now, krock.com. Enter. And then we will be picking out the 10 finalists on Monday, November the 19th. Online voting will begin. We'll be interviewing all the competitors here live on the radio show. And then the listeners will get to vote for their favorites as we skyrocket towards Miss Double December pageant on Friday, November the 30th at the Slide Bar Rock and Roll Kitchen in downtown Fullerton. One of our favorite events of the year, each and every year. So come and join in the phone, won't you, ladies? Here go for the fun, too.
Fun.
Fun, whatever you got. Johnny Depp's being sued. Robin Eckert is her name. She is seeking damages against the actor. She claims that she was at an Iggy Pop and the Stooges concert in the Hollywood Palladium last December. She was attending the concert with her husband when apparently Johnny Depp's bodyguards thought she posed some sort of a threat.
Uh-oh.
Handcuffed her, dragged her on the ground through the arena's VIP area, causing her pants to fall off.
What the hell is going on?
When did bodyguards just get to slap cuffs on people?
I didn't think they did.
Apparently these did. She contends that the incident caused a lasting trauma. I can imagine if your pants were down around your ankles and you're being dragged through the Palladium. Yeah. That would leave a lasting trauma. It also worsened her fibromyalgia condition. Now, Depp's attorneys asserted in the court papers that Miss Eckert had consented to any assault and battery by acting with hostile behavior at the show. She claims otherwise. Anyway, the judge gave her a go-ahead.
Go away.
It'd be great if judges could give you a go-away.
Go away.
Gave her a go-ahead to proceed with the suit. So this will go to trial. So I guess we'll find out more of what happened then. But here's the thing. She's not some loon. She is a UC Irvine medical professor.
Whoa, really?
She's a college professor, mother of two.
Oh, boy.
What could she have been doing that they thought was so...
She's a real deal. She's not some flighty, fangirl.
Wow.
So any jury, I think, would take her a little bit more seriously than the average hullabalooer. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Congrats on hullabalooer.
Thank you. So we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, I imagine what hostile gesture could you have made that would cause that reaction in Johnny's bodyguards? Cuffed and dragged across the floor of the Palladium. And by the way, if you've ever been to the Palladium, you do not want to be dragged across that floor with your pants off.
That's like a theater floor.
Yeah, you don't know what's been spilled on that floor.
Some nasty floor.
Well, now we know what to get Bean for Christmas. Don't tell anybody. Shh. He's not here today, so he won't find out. But just announced... The Justin Bieber blow-up sex doll. Sounds great, doesn't it?
It's confusing
for
to
who?
Me.
It's for everybody. The manufacturers are claiming that the Justin Bieber blow-up sex doll, which, of course, for legal reasons, isn't actually called the Justin Bieber blow-up sex doll.
No.
It's called the Justin Bieber blow-up sex doll.
How did they do it?
It's for the guys and the girls. It's a bisexual blow-up doll, they claim. How can you tell when your blow-up doll is bisexual or straight?
Just from the claim, I guess.
I guess so. They say it's got everything Bieber has.
Well, it's not picky about which sex, so I guess it is bi. I guess they all are.
Yeah, that's true. they're not saying no to anybody,
can't
are they?
Say no, woman, no.
Finally 18 and ready to rock your world, says the packaging. It looks like Bieber, and it's got a sideways baseball cap and boyish grin.
Ugh.
Just meet Justin Bieber, the barely legal boy toy who's waited 19 long years to stick his... Oh, I can't go there. Can't say that. The Beefster doesn't have this, just have this effect on women. He turns straight men gay faster than you can peel his skinny jeans off.
Yeah, that's how it works.
That's how it happens.
Mm-hmm.
You see a guy who looks like a little lesbian and you just can't help yourself. The Justin Bieber ranges in price from $20 to $138 online, depending on where you buy it.
And, really? You can buy it for $20 or $138?
Yes. So do your due diligence. Get online and do some comparison
shopping.
Shop
around a bit.
And just like Bieber, they promised that the blow-up doll has no pubic hair. So it is lifelike on so many different levels. It's very enjoyable. Congratulations also to the Biebs' girlfriend, Selena Gomez. It has been announced today is Glamour Magazine's Woman of the Year.
Well, she's bizarre.
She's done so much, Lisa, for the downtrodden and those lepers that she takes care of.
What is that based on exactly?
I don't know. I don't know why Glamour Magazine would pick her. She, as far as I know,
she's cute.
She was on the Wizards of Waverly Place.
Right. Disney show.
I don't think she's an ambassador to the UN or anything. I don't think she's delivering malaria nets or anything like that.
No.
She said she's very honored. Calls it a very, very big deal. All right, easy, Selena. And then added with the odd statement, I didn't even know I was a woman.
Maybe, is that a joke about how young she is?
Maybe she's like the blow-up doll. Maybe I don't know what's going on down there. Who knows? Maybe it was... Sam Gomez. I guess she's saying she feels so much, very much like a girl.
Yeah,
she is very much
way
a girl.
Young,
but she's the woman of the year, Lisa. You're just jealous because you're not the woman of the year.
Lisa
entered again this year and didn't make woman of the year from Glamour magazine.
It's very upsetting.
And Lady Gaga, speaking of girls, wants all the girls to know that if you were in high school and you were treated badly by the mean girls in school, well, living well is the best revenge. She tells Stylist magazine, like there's a Stylist magazine, that girls from her teen years were flat out horrible to her. So she was dead set on looking absolutely amazing to impress them at her best friend from high school's engagement party.
Obviously.
Yeah. How'd that turn out for you? Looking absolutely amazing there, Gaga. You know what? Just bring your checkbook and flash that around. I think you'll have more success.
Just be successful. You don't have to be good looking.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Emma Stone, that's somebody who's got it all. 24 years old today. Lamar Odom from Chloe and Lamar is 33. Taryn Manning turns 34 years old. Rebecca Romijn is 40. Thandie Newton is 40 as well. Ethan Hawke turns 42. Kelly Rutherford from Melrose Place is 44. Maria Shriver, TV journalist and former first lady and former wife of Arnold Schwarzenegger, 57 years old. Oscar-winning actress Sally Field, soon to be seen in Spielberg's Lincoln, is 66 years old. And before I go, real quickly, it is Tuesday. Here's your new releases. Music from Another Dimension, the new Aerosmith CD is available today, if you're interested.
What else?
Most of My Heroes Still Don't Appear on No Stamp by Public Enemy.
Really?
Yeah, they told you, didn't they? Bean would hate that album.
Oh.
Disparages stamps in the post office. DVDs, just in time for the holiday season, Arthur Christmas, which came out last year. A very funny British animated film is available. They Live. Remember that movie, Roddy Piper? About the aliens you can see through the special sunglasses?
No.
Oh, Kevin, you're missing out on one of the great films of all time.
No.
The collector's edition on Blu-ray is available today.
No.
Fire with Fire, starring Bruce Willis and Josh Duhamel.
What was that movie?
Did that happen?
Is that direct-to-video?
It must have been. I don't know. Not Bruce Willis doesn't make direct-to-video
movies.
Well, no one tries to.
I've never heard of such a thing. And I bring this up because I know Lisa would be excited by this. Wolf Lake, the complete series on DVD, is available today.
Oh, with...
With Wolf Lake. Wolf Lake with La Bamba.
Yes.
Lou Diamond Phillips.
Yes.
It was good. It was a good series.
It didn't last very long.
But it was very entertaining.
Sorry,
I don't even know
you were like,
what
it's like,
that
it was
is.
Like werewolves and stuff like that. Supernatural. It was very entertaining.
You would like
it. There you go. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, Adam Carolla will be here with This Week in Rage.
Yeah.
We have your tickets for our breakfast with Mumford & Sons and, of course, sold out at the Hollywood Bowl. And Bean's going to be back tomorrow, so we are going to fill him with confidence by taking your phone calls of kidney surgeries gone wrong.
I don't think that's necessary.
That's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin.